In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. So we had a really nice week up at Lake Superior last week. It's great weather, time with family, hikes, campfires, rock collecting, and of course, swimming. Now, if you've ever taken a dip in Superior, you know the water comes in three temperatures. Kill you dead cold, bone chilling cold, and sometimes it gets all the way up to just plain cold. Well, we were there, the water had warmed all the way up to just plain cold, so we went swimming almost every day. First couple days, the water was calm. The third day, winds kicked up off the lake and it got really wavy. Well, we went swimming anyway, and you forget just how much power is in a wave until one knocks you right off of your feet. I mean, I grew up in LA and I did learn how to swim in waves, but still you forget just how much force, just how much power, just how much kinetic energy is in a single wave. The calm water of the first 2 days gives you a false sense of security, and you forget the power of water on the move. Water on the move and explodes up sides of rocks, and then when you swim in it, just knocks you off your feet if you're not ready for it. Now, the interesting thing is the mass of this water, its substance, it doesn't change. I mean, the water was the same on those calm days as it was on the windy days. It's the same water. But the wind reveals the water's mass. The wind reveals something about the water that had been lying calm those previous days. You don't realize the water's energy until it's on the move. But using that water's mass, feeling that water's energy, that's when the fun starts. That's when the fun begins. It makes for great swimming when you're ready for it. But waves do a lot more than that. I mean, the mass of water, it generates power. It smooths jagged rocks over the years. It drives ships. It reshapes land itself. Now, this latent power of the water is revealed by the wind, and it's an incredible force. And it reminded me, getting knocked over by this wave, it reminded me of this week's feast of the Lord's Transfiguration. Now, Jesus took Peter, James, and John up Mount Tabor and revealed his divine glory to them. His face shined like the sun. His clothing became glistening white. And his divine glory was revealed to those disciples. And Peter and James and John, they were overwhelmed. And it's important for us to remember that this was a change of appearance, not a change of nature. It's not that Jesus added divine glory or was given divine glory at this time. I mean, Jesus as God incarnate already has the divine glory within himself since before the beginning of time. This is who he is and who he always was. Divine glory was already part of his nature. Just like the mass of water, even when it's not windy, it's already there. But Jesus chose this moment to reveal this glory to these disciples when they were ready to see it. Now, Peter and James and John, they had known Jesus a couple of years by this point. They knew he was wonderful. They knew there was something different about him. They had heard his words. They had witnessed his healings. But this revelation was different. This was on a whole different level. This divine light, this glory revealed, it knocked them over. If you look at the icon in the center of the church, it shows their shoes are flying off. That's what this did to them. They saw something in their master greater than they had ever imagined. He was no ordinary prophet. This man was God incarnate, and they saw that divine power and glory were there just under his human flesh. It's like swimming in calm water. You aren't aware of its power and energy until a wave hits you. When it does, though, you realize the incredible mass of that water. It was there all along. You just didn't notice it until it hit you. When Jesus was transfigured, the disciples realized he had the divine glory all along. It was already there. And in fact, that's one of the reasons that we bless fruit on this feast day. Fruits and vegetables, they start as a tiny seed, right? ultimately, every fruit and vegetable somewhere along the line began as a tiny seed. Now, if you didn't know it and saw a seed, it looks like nothing on the surface. If you didn't know what it was, it's just a speck. But already in that seed is all the DNA, all the life force of the tree or vine or plant that will eventually produce life-giving fruit. That life force is already in there waiting to be revealed. All of this means what for us? Well, first of all, it means that God has come among us in the person of Jesus Christ. Though Jesus appeared as a man and indeed was fully human, he is also God. He is also God. In Jesus, God has come among us, and his transfiguration reveals that. But it also means that in the person of Jesus Christ, there is a divine power and a divine grace available to you. Available to you. As certainly as there is an enormous amount of potential energy in the mass of water in Lake Superior, infinitely more are grace and power available in the love of Jesus Christ. Now, what the Savior's transfigure shows us is that if you are lost, if you are grieving, if you are hopeful, if you are tired, if you are unsure, if you are alone, if you wrestle with a sin, if you are angry, if you are joyful, if you fear anything, even death itself, if you are celebrating, if you're victorious, Jesus showing his glory means that God is with you in all of it. The light that comes from him, the light available to you, means that God is with you in all of it. As sure as the power is in Lake Superior, as sure as the life force is in the seed of every fruit, more sure is the grace available in the love and light of Jesus Christ. This week, the church celebrates this event, and this truth, and this reality of Jesus coming as God among us. So may the reality of the Lord's grace and the Lord's light be renewed in you. Amen.
Amen.